Texas, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Well, the judge got all cranky and stormed out of the courtroom last night as all America watched the Zimmerman trial. Careful, Judge. The camera is a terrible thing. Lair Adams for the American Adversaries Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. Now, as this trial winds down, we hear information the jury never will. Hey, such as Trayvon Martin's phone records where someone texted him the question, "Why are you always fighting?" Along with Martin's text claiming, "Yeah, I hit him in the nose," etc., etc. Well, the decision is coming soon, folks. Be calm. Wait for it. And be sure to listen for my co-host, the real judge. So here come the judge. Here come the judge, Christopher Hart.
There you go. Thanks so very much, Lair Adams. And boy, we are going to be throwing down some proclamations today, if you will. Okay, folks, that's right. I am Christopher Hart. That was Lair Adams. We're joined today in studio by Jeff Dowdy. Real quickly, thanks, Jeff, for being with us here this afternoon.
Great. Thank you so much.
I'm going to take care of a little business here real quick, and then we're going to go to Jeff Dowdy about the Zimmerman trial and the things that Lair was referencing in his opening remarks there. It just keeps getting, what did they say in the old, what was it, Alice in Wonderland? It keeps getting curiouser and curiouser, something like that. Okay, anyway, folks.
Is that a double entendre?
I don't know. Welcome to the show, folks. Write this phone number down if you don't already have it in your phone or you don't already know it by heart, because it's going to be valuable today. 407-774-8255. That's our phone. We are live, 407-774-8255. Why is that valuable today? Well, it's Wednesday. That means we're going to give away a family four-packet tickets to a Rays home game and an authentic autographed baseball. Okay, so this will be sometime during our show today. Listen hard during the breaks when you hear a Rays highlight play. Start dialing that number so you can get through and get that family four-packet tickets to a Rays home game. And Jeff Dowdy's over here kind of shaking his head back and forth because he is a huge baseball fan. If you're listening to our Sunday night show, oh, he's got the Detroit Dodgers cufflinks here. Nice, classy. If you're listening to our show Sunday night, we do a Who Said That contest. And this week I used a Lou Gehrig quote, and boy, Jeff was all over that. Okay, folks, listen to that. Listen for that Rays highlight play, and hopefully you'll win that family four-pack. If you don't win today, we'll do this every Wednesday throughout the baseball season. These tickets are good until the end of the regular season, pretty much at your discretion. Okay. Welcome to the show. As I said, if you would like to comment about this Zimmerman trial, give us a call, 407-774-8255. We are going to sandwich Abe Katzman in here in the middle portion of the show today. He'll be calling from Jerusalem, I presume. He's a globetrotter, though, if you will.
Yeah, I was in New York last week.
Yep, and he oftentimes spends some time in Seattle as well. And we'll be talking a great deal about Egypt and other matters in the Middle East with Abe Katzman. Egypt is, once again, coming apart by the scene. teams. And there was an article in the New York Times this past weekend that indicates that the White House is sort of pulling those puppet strings, if you will.
It's part of that leading from behind, Chris.
Well, this may actually be more actually like leading, although it may be the wrong time and wrong place to do it. So we'll be talking about that with Abe Katzman. But in the meantime, Jeff Doughty, I get home last night. I turn on the TV. It's on Channel 13 because that's where I left it in the morning when I turned it off. And lo and behold, there's court hearings going on. And I think it's a rerun until I finally realize, and then I text you for verification, is this thing actually still going on? And it did until 10 o'clock last night. How often does that happen?
Rarely. It was a marathon session. In fact, at 8 p.m., the lights automatically shut off on everyone.
Is that
there
right?
So late.
Yeah.
But yeah, they went till almost 10 o'clock, exactly.
And
is there anyone at, I hate to say use the word at fault. What? Why did it go that long?
Well, they dismissed the jury around 4:30, and they had two motions that they had to clear up, and that was the motion to get into the animated video.
The animated.
And the Facebook post by Trayvon.
The text,
on his cell phone.
Text messages
his cell phone.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, not Facebook. Text messages on his cell phone.
And she left those decisions to be made this morning, and we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Correct.
And but it did. It got testy. I could tell as I was watching it that Don West was fatigued. As a matter of fact, Mark O'Mara looked fatigued. The only one that didn't really look too fatigued was George Zimmerman. Obviously, you would think that these weren't the best of circumstances. Is this judge pushing this case too hard to get it over with too quickly, do you think?
Well, you know, she's pushing hard, and I was... I didn't hear anybody talk about it last night, all the legal analysts on television. But, yeah, she's pushing it hard. I mean, it's physically and emotionally tough. It's difficult. I mean, it's not like when they go home, they just...
No, when they leave
relax.
That's all they think
and
about.
Watch Seinfeld.
Well,
that doesn't happen.
Well, not only that, but they have to be lining up witnesses and getting their preparations ready for the next day because you don't just sit down before the trial starts and like fill in your calendar the way it's all going to play out. You have to, once the trial begins, it's day to day.
And you have to be on your A game.
Right.
There's no days off. I mean, you just not sit back one day and just do nothing. And it was very difficult. And two crucial rulings came out.
Yeah, as a result of that. We'll get to those rulings in just a moment. We have Sherry on the line, and she has a question. So I want to go to Sherry and get her question, and then we'll go to those rulings in just a moment.
Sure.
Sherry, thank you for calling. And your question for Jeff Doughty, please.
Yeah, I just had a really quick question that I've had the whole trial, and I've not heard anyone answer it anyway.
Okay.
But with the bringing Donnelly back and all of the issue of not letting George Zimmerman's parents in during the trial support, what is the reasoning that Trayvon Martin's parents have been allowed at the court?
Okay, that's sort of a legal question, yes. But Jeff can answer that for you. Thank you, Sherry, for your call.
By law, per statute, the victim's family is allowed to be in the courtroom. And it's just by law, so they are allowed to it. Many times, the state attorney will agree to allow the defendant's family to be there. In this particular case, as you know, there's just been a lot of animosity, and the state refused to agree to it, even though they didn't call.
Right.
And the family members.
And even though after today and George Zimmerman's father, Robert Sr., testified, they still are holding him basically out of the courtroom because they said they may call him back.
And what does that tell you?
That tells you that they're taking this personal. I mean, I'd like to say something else, but they're taking this very, very personally. And that is definitely a tactic that they are using by choice to try to prejudice the jury.
Absolutely.
Sherry, thank you. That's an excellent question.
Very good question.
Now, Jeff, let me ask you this. When the judge semi-quasi, whatever we want to call it, stormed out last night, what was her reasoning for that? Because she was in the middle of this argument. Was it basically, hey, I'm done, I'm tired, I'm going home, or did she just get up and go?
It got to the point where she was not, you could tell she was not going to let it in. And when Don West said, you're violating my client's United States constitutional rights and Florida constitutional rights. And when you start going that deep in your argument, and you could tell he was just flabbergasted at this ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And he had it, and she might have sensed it, but maybe she has had it too, and she just abruptly walked off.
That's what I thought.
And it was that. In fact, if you look at it real closely, Don was held back a little bit by Mark.
A couple of times Mark put his left hand out to kind of say...
And it spilled over into today with another confrontation.
Yeah. Well, let's get to those rulings.
Okay.
The two issues that they were arguing last night, she made the rulings on this morning. One, I don't know if you folks heard it, but Lair mentioned it in his opening remarks. Text messages by Trayvon. He had evidently thousands of text yes. messages. And in these text messages, amongst other things, were texts about fighting. And right. one of the particular texts that they pulled out was an organized fight that he was in, where he texted, and I believe it was to Rachel Gentel, the girl who testified in his behalf, if you will, that he had been in this fight. He had lost round one because mm-hmm. he had ended up on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't get up because the other guy was in the mounted position. And so in the second round, he punched the guy in the nose,
yes.
which dropped him to the canvas, then mounted him and began to ground and pound. I don't remember if he uses the word ground and pound, but basically he described exactly what George Zimmerman said that he did to him. And tell us what the judge said.
The judge said the defense failed to authenticate the text. And what that means is that even though there were thousands of texts on his phone, she said they did not prove to her that he was the one who made them. Don, this is where Don kind of went off on this, because Don said that they had this phone in January. They knew this stuff was on there. When I say they, the state mm-hmm. attorney, they knew this stuff was on there in January, but they never turned it over until June, approximately 3 weeks before the trial. That's at that point is when a defense requested a continuance, and it was denied. It was Judge Nelson denied it. They had no idea. They had to get the source code. They had to go pour through thousands of texts. As Don West stated last night, almost 100 hours was spent. 100 hours mm-hmm. was spent on dissecting that phone. They could have called Rachel to say, hey, I talked to Trayvon. He was the one who was sending me these texts. The judge countered with that, saying that, we don't know that he's the one who actually sent the text. Kids can get into your password at any time, and they could take your phone. It happens every day. A 7-year-old kid takes a phone and sends their text. On that basis, she denied the motion.
But the jury couldn't make that determination of whether they thought that he really was doing the texting. That's the ridiculous part of this.
And this was out of the presence of the jury.
I understand that.
Yeah, I understand.
And evidently, there's some legal grounds for having a if she would have allowed it in, there were some legal grounds that precedent that.
Yes.
So let me ask real quick this. Is this something that could come up for appeal were things not to go George's way?
It's definitely an appealable issue. I mean, it's similar to what you texted me last night. Are you watching this live? Yes. You know, it was me.
Right. Right. I see what you mean. Okay, and the other decision about the video. She is but isn't going to let the jury see it.
In the closing.
I was surprised by that. They get to use it as demonstrative evidence. If demonstrative evidence is, when they get to the podium tomorrow, the first thing the judge is going to say, what comes from this podium, not the witness stand,
mm-hmm.
what comes from the podium is what the attorneys believe the evidence they showed, and they can show anything. They can show a Stromboli from Positano.
So
it doesn't matter.
So they're going to play the video. In the closing argument.
The closing argument. Does not go back into the evidence room. They wanted it to be admitted in evidence. And in the old days, and I shouldn't say the old days, in a typical trial, when you have a witness, you have a big white piece of paper, you ask the witness to stand down and say, Mr. Zimmerman, could you draw me a map or a diagram of what happened? So evident, obviously the person draws it, and the first thing they do is apologize. I'm not an artist. So you get two stick men,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you get another page, two other stick men and a different one. And then the attorney asks, will you sign the bottom of the page? Will you date it? Yes. Your Honor, we offer this to be in evidence. She's going to admit it in evidence. She has to.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the witness did. But what the defense did, the prosecution put on Zimmerman's video interview with the police.
Mm-hmm.
From that interview, a videographer did a demo, of an animated demo, going right along with what George said.
Gotcha.
And that's
okay.
what it was. And so they wanted it to be admitted that way, and the judge said no.
All right. So neither one of those decisions went in George's favor. Probably the bigger one that would have helped him the most would have definitely been, I think, the text messages.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
because certainly he described exactly what Zimmerman described happened to him.
Right.
And what I mean he, I mean Trayvon. And by the way,
then the
folks,
jury could have really understood.
There was a whole lot of other stuff on that there telephone.
Yeah.
Let me just say that, and I don't want to take it any further than this, but Trayvon Martin was not no sweet little boy. Okay, he was acting like a grown man in many different ways on his telephone. Let's just leave it at that. All right. Jeff, the witnesses that testified today, real quickly, there was Mr. Root. Yes. Did he go far enough? I presume he was there to, once again, describe George Zimmerman as not being capable of very well of defending himself in a hand-to-hand combat. And then, of course, the defense sort of closed out with George's father.
Right. The first witness was Root, retired law enforcement, as a company does trains defensive use, how you defend yourself. In fact, I rode on the elevator this morning with John Gray, and he had the mannequin there.
Wow. So you got to ride the elevator with the mannequin.
I got to ride the elevator with the mannequin. The mannequin. Yep, with the mannequin. And I said, great amounts of evidence. So
Jeff,
what happened?
You know how to live, buddy. I got to tell you.
So they got on the ground and demonstrated it. John Guy did with the mannequin. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you the jurors all stood up and were all watching it. A very effective witness. Very effective witness.
So you think even during the prosecution's cross-examination, it benefited George?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right, real quickly, George's father basically just came up real quick. Mark O'Meara, there was no cross-examination. Do you think that was an effective way to end their case?
It was an effective way. Robert Zimmerman Sr. identified his father as a voice. There was also an interesting witness in between that, and that was Olivia.
Yes.
And this poor lady... Young lady with a child upstairs, two young black men were knocking on her door, and she got scared, ran upstairs, and they burglarized her home downstairs while she was upstairs. Now, there's different types of burglaries. There's burglary of a car, burglary of a structure, burglary of a dwelling. The worst burglary possible is burglary of an occupied dwelling,
yes.
And it really terrorized this person. She was so terrorized by it, she moved. And I can say this from personal. My mom, we were kids, we had a burglar where my mom was in there. Ever since then, she can never stay home by herself.
Wow.
It's a traumatizing
forever.
Yeah, because you think your home is your safe.
Yeah, she's upstairs with a little baby while they were broken. They were never caught.
But really quickly, the closing arguments first will be the prosecution?
Yes. They have what's called the jelly sandwich. Two slices of bread, then the jelly's in the middle. State, defense.
So the state will open, the defense will present their argument, and then the state will close.
State gets the hammer.
Okay, and we'll continue this conversation with Jeff later on in the show. But right now, folks, it's time for our man from Jerusalem, Abe Katzman. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be joined by Abe Katzman. And we're going to talk about some Egyptian-style politics, if you will.
Sorry, I didn't open to you.
Years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, and lo prometto.
Yo, it's me, it's DDP.
Yo, it's me, DDP. Diamond Dallas Page, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you're listening to the American Adversary Tri-Time. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. Bad!
All right, folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, and Jeff Dowdy live with you in the studio this afternoon. We now have our man from Jerusalem, Abe Katzman, on the phone. And by the way, folks, you can read Abe Katzman's articles. You can find them all over the place, but you can go right to abekatzman.com. That's Katzman with an S, a K and an S, abekatzman.com, and read his articles firsthand. Abe, welcome to the show today. Thanks again for being with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Hey, did you know that what's going on in Egypt and what's been going on up here in Sanford having to do with this George Zimmerman trial have something in common?
That they both make for good radio?
Well, no, I suppose that too. But it seems as though the Obama administration has been playing a little behind-the-scenes role in both of these things. We're going to find out more from Nostradamus later, but the local newspaper is breaking a story that the Justice Department, now we all knew the Justice Department was down here last year trying to quote-unquote calm the fire that was quell all the hard feelings. We find out, thanks to Judicial Watch, that they were also down here promoting pro Trayvon Martin rallies. In other words, stoking the flames. And it seems as though the administration has been sort of stoking things up over there in Egypt. The New York Times did an article this Sunday, and Dennis is going to bring us more details in a few minutes, where the people in Egypt were under the impression that the United States was sort of behind the coup. Have you heard the same thing from your perspective?
There's been speculation of that, about that, really, since day one. If you ask me, I don't even think that's a bad thing. I think it. I've been more worried that, let's say, the CIA or whatever kind of operations we have abroad have been so impotent. And if it turns out that the CIA actually was involved in this, well, I applaud the fact that they can still be effective somewhere. I don't know how popular an opinion that's going to be, but I am not unhappy to see that happen.
Well, I have to admit, I'm sort of torn. I think I see it from that perspective too. I see, well, finally Obama's doing something, right? Finally, this administration is using the levers, if you will, that the United States wields to perhaps do something in a positive direction. But then I turn around and I think, but, you know, perhaps a coup wouldn't have been the best way to go about this. What do you think?
No, I agree. And in fact, we'll wait and see exactly what, if anybody can find any sort of smoking gun that that ties the CIA or the United States in any other way to this. Frankly, I'm skeptical. And that's exactly because I think that this administration is so caught up in domestic issues, and even where it's dealing with foreign policy, and even in the Middle East, John Kerry's so focused on the issues of Israelis and Palestinians that doesn't seem to pay any attention to things boiling over in Turkey or in Syria or in Egypt. He just seems to be obsessed with where Jews are allowed to build houses.
Oh, come on.
Yep.
Come on, Abe, tell us how you really feel. You just don't think they're smart enough. You just don't think this administration is smart enough to stir up this nonsense. Well, listen.
I wonder.
Yeah, listen, folks, we do have a hard break here, Abe. So if you'll please join us after the break. Is that correct, Chris?
Sure.
We got everything all lined up after the break.
Yep.
Folks, we are coming up on a hard break. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on a beautiful afternoon. I just love this sunshine. Also in the studio with us, besides Abe. Abe's not in the studio, but we do have Jeff Downey.
Dowdy.
I can't read my notes here. Anyway, folks, we'll be back momentarily. Don't go away.
Back from the dressing room to re-stretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, we're back, folks. Once again, thank you very much for being with us. I don't think I've heard that highlight play yet. Have we heard the highlight play yet?
No,
I haven't heard the highlight. Have you heard the highlight play? I haven't heard it either. If you do hear that, or when you hear that highlight play, folks, call us at 407-774-8255 to win a free family four-pack of tickets to a Rays home game.
And
they're playing some pretty good baseball now.
They're kicking.
Speaking of baseballs, you'll get an autographed baseball to go with those tickets, so you'll get a pack of tickets and have a ball. Okay, folks, once again, you are back with the American Adversaries. I'm Christopher Hart and Lair Adams. We're on the phone right now with Abe Katzman. We have Jeff Dowdy in the studio. And while we have Abe on the line, we also have our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, on the line. Real quickly, I want to go to Abe and then we'll go to Nostra Dennis. Abe, regardless of who's behind what's happening in Egypt right now, do you see this as an opportunity, or is Israel quaking in their boots over this?
Well, you know, Israel, I think, wants to see what the fallout is eventually. I think that Israel looks at this, I think from Israel's standpoint, this is a good development. Anything that sets back the Muslim Brotherhood is a good thing. There's a little, you know, there are ancillary benefits from this also. Hamas is Muslim Brotherhood, and they were allied very closely, of course, with President Morsi, who was when the Muslim Brotherhood was running Egypt.
Right.
So to see them, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because as you might remember, a few weeks ago, Hamas was being financed by Iran, but because Hamas started squabbling with Hezbollah and telling Hezbollah that they really shouldn't be bothering in Syria, that their focus really ought to be on fighting Israel. They had a falling out with Iran, and Iran apparently has cut off their funding or arming them. Meanwhile, now Egypt has done the same. Apparently, they've closed off all the smuggling tunnels from which generally were the were the means of acquiring arms. They've done that in the Sinai. I saw a week ago they had actually moved armor into the Egyptian army had moved some armor right up to the Gaza border. They're being attacked. There are Islamists that have attacked the Egyptian military. But I think that what this is going to do is it actually is going to put Hamas in a corner. And that's not a bad thing.
So there are some positive benefits to this.
I think there are. And just in general, if, you know, all else being equal, if the Muslim Brotherhood takes a hit, that's good for the not just for Israel, that's good for the rest of the world, certainly for the region.
Now, having said that, the Brotherhood does represent the largest political party in Egypt. Is there a danger of them being ostracized and resorting more and more to violence to express themselves, so to speak?
Sure. I mean, there is a real threat of civil war. I don't know how any of that is going to play out. I just saw that apparently the military has gone out and arrested a bunch of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, claiming that they incited the violence that over the last the previous couple of days had claimed over 50 lives.
Right.
I don't doubt that they did incite the violence, but it doesn't mean that that on the other side they're just peaceful doing sit-ins and civil disobedience. I mean, there's going to be some serious fighting going on both sides, and the military is really the institution to watch. I will say that I was skeptical that the military would be what the military used to be because President Morsi had purged so many secularists or Mubarak loyalists from the military ranks and put in so many Muslim Brotherhood people. But apparently the military is still not, at least not so overly Muslim Brotherhood infiltrated that they won't, they can seize power and restore something closer to whatever the Egyptian version of normal is.
Yeah, now we know for a fact, Abe, though, that there was no military coup in Egypt. Our president,
well.
Now we have laws against supporting that, and now we would never do that.
No, not us.
Yeah, well, that's, look, this administration, it changes its mind practically daily and about what laws it
just the meanings of words.
I was going to say, it's ironic that finally, if you want to say they finally did the right thing or did something anyway, they had to break the law to do it.
They had to break
it. They were used to it, Chris.
Okay.
Okay.
Abe, let's go to Nostra Dennis and get him
sure.
in on this. Nostra Dennis, who's across town at headquarters, how you doing there tonight, sir?
Real good, Chris. And you were asking me about a New York Times story you saw over the weekend about that.
Yeah.
The final hours of the Morsi regime. You want to go through that?
Yeah, real quickly, if you can.
Sure. Apparently, within the last couple of hours before Morsi was unceremoniously deposed, he received a call from an Arab foreign minister who said he was acting as an emissary of Washington. And he said, if you'll let us appoint the new prime minister and a new cabinet, one that'll take over all the power, replace all the guys you picked, you can get out of here in one piece. He said, nope. Not going to take it. They came back and said they'd spoken to Susan Rice, the U.S. National Security Advisor, and gave Morsi the information that the military takeover was about to begin. An aide of Morsi texted an associate with this quote, "Mother just told us that we will stop playing in 1 hour." In Egypt, they like calling America Mother America.
Stop playing, huh? Certainly, I don't know that we can say the administration was behind this, but obviously their fingerprints are on it in some fashion, don't you think, Abe?
Well, Well, I hope their fingerprints are somewhere. I'd hate to think that they've washed their hands of everything.
True. Yeah.
Again, I'm skeptical of these types of stories. There are so many people who use stories like these for their own purposes. Until we see some real evidence that that's what happened, I just think it's. It's a little too Hollywood-ish.
Okay. Thanks for that perspective. I appreciate it. And anytime I see something in the New York Times, even if I like what I'm reading, I have to wonder about it. You know what I'm saying?
That's reason enough to be skeptical.
So that's why I wanted to bring it up with you guys around.
I thought that was the Inquirer.
I trust them more than the New York Times, to be honest with you. Okay. Abe, let's talk in more, let's say, strategic or general terms about Egypt. Egypt is an extremely important part of the whole puzzle in the Middle East, don't you think?
Well, they're the most populous country in the Middle East.
In the Arab world, yeah.
Arab country,
yeah.
And they've always kind of served as the leader of the Arab world. And for a long time, I mean, certainly under when it was President Mubarak, they served as a very good counterweight to Iran and, of course, provided stability with Israel in terms of maintaining a peace for over 30 years. That doesn't make them, they're not going to get any awards. Mubarak wouldn't win any awards from the United Jewish Appeal. But he did what he had to do from the American standpoint. He was not bad. And if you get somebody else who will do the same types of things, that is a great advantage to America, a great asset for America, and a great asset really for the entire Western world.
Now, I understand that an economist, and I'm not familiar with him myself, is going to be the prime minister, and al-Baradei is going to be like a foreign minister. Do you see the faces that are beginning to appear now in control, or are they welcome faces?
Every time these names, a name like this comes up, everybody acts as if they know everything about the person, basically based on whatever news story they just read 5 minutes ago.
Like the new president of Iran, for instance.
Like the new president of Iran, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody knows that he's a moderate.
Yeah.
Why? Because they read that he's a moderate.
Unless they read your article.
Oh, he's the most
unless
moderate.
They read, right. They're only...
they read your article, they know the truth.
That's right. Or at least they know that you shouldn't take these things at face value.
Right.
The new prime minister he is a former finance minister, and they keep on talking about him as being a free marketeer, but I don't remember... Egypt pre-Morsi being a bastion of free markets. So I don't know how much influence he ever had. Being a free marketeer, having had a lot of exposure to the West, having been educated in the West, generally I look at that as a good thing. Then again, Bashar Assad also was educated in the West.
Sure.
So you don't always know. One, I'd say a couple of things that I found interesting with this. One is that al-Baradei was apparently rejected by the Islamists. Now, okay, I understand that, but if this al-Bablawi, if he was more acceptable to the Islamists, I want to know why. What is it that makes a person that acceptable to the Islamists? The other thing that is interesting, with the new president, that's for the prime ministership, but the new president, President Mansour, the first attempt to discredit him was done by accusing him of being Jewish or of being of Jewish descent.
Huh.
And that I find that interesting for a whole host of reasons.
Yeah, a little anti-Semitism going on there.
Yeah. Generally the degree you can there's usually a correlation between the degree of rabid anti-Semitism there is and how anti-Western the person will be.
Absolutely.
So if they're accusing him of this, that's actually a good sign.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Nostradamus. A question for Abe Nostradamus.
Yeah, Abe, I read last year that the Muslim Brotherhood was moderate. Was that not correct?
That's what our Director of National Intelligence said. In fact, not only that, he said they were largely secular.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're our friends.
I think, sure. Do you think this really goes to... obviously, we're going to get two storylines about what happened with Morrissey. One, he was either incompetent and didn't know what he was doing. The other one could be, however, though, that Egypt rejected Sharia law, if you will, for lack of better words. What do you think, Abe?
I think that's probably the case. I think a lot of people voted for the Muslim Brotherhood thinking that that was... It was the one institution that kind of had its act together by the time the elections came around. So I think there are people who, I hope that there are people who voted for them who were really voting for competence as much as anything else. But
right.
They got Sharia, they got this bloodletting of the Christian community. Believe me, there are no Christians who are going to be voting for any Muslim Brotherhood parties this time around.
Right, right. The Coptic Christians were being massacred.
Coptic Christians it's been terrible for them.
Yeah.
And I think that it may very well be that there are enough, maybe there are enough moderate Egyptians, non-Islamist Egyptians. But on the other hand, last year, assuming the election was fair, and that's maybe not a...
Proper assumption.
Not a fair assumption, right?
Yeah.
Between the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salafists, who are super-duper Muslims, they got 75% of the vote between them.
Yeah.
And that's worrisome.
Well, perhaps, as we sort of got here with Obama, you get a taste of it, and then you realize, don't like it so much after all. And maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Buyer's remorse.
You got it.
From the standpoint of the military.
You got it. Sometimes you got to get your hand burned to know that the stove is hot. All right. Thank you, Abe. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon, and we'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure as always.
Are you in Jerusalem, by the way? Jeff Dowdy wanted to know if you're back in Jerusalem tonight.
Today, I'm actually in Seattle, Washington.
I knew you were going to be somewhere like that. I knew it. Okay, Abe. You enjoy your...
I'll be back in Jerusalem soon enough.
You enjoy your travels, and God bless you.
Talk later, Abe. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Very much, Abe. That's Abe Katzman, ladies and gentlemen, our man from Jerusalem, New York, Seattle. Anywhere he is, he still gives us the good advice, the good perspective. We'll be right back.
The pitch. Here's a swing and a high fly ball. Back to right. Batista looks up. It's gone. They go back to back to back. Loney.
Adversaries Rays highlight of the week. Listen for it every Wednesday on the American Adversaries, 5 to 6 p.m. for your chance to win four tickets to a Rays home game and an official Major League Baseball autographed by a Rays player. American Adversaries Rays highlight of the week on News Talk 660 WORL.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
This is Marilee from Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week. Like Bahama cruises from $139 per person. How about a 7-night Alaska cruise from $279 per person? Save up to $1,000 per couple on a European river cruise. Book Norwegian's newest ships, the Breakaway or the Getaway, and receive a $50 onboard credit. 7-night European cruises from $339 per person. 7-night Canada and New England cruises from $549 per person. Sandals and Beaches Resorts are offering up to 65% off. Plus, military and firefighters receive an additional 10% off. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Oh, yeah! The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Hey, folks, welcome back, and congratulations to Tim from Tavares. He was listening up, as many of you were, and he called in and won that Rays family four-pack of tickets and an authentic Rays baseball, autographed baseball.
He caught the pop fly.
He sure enough got it. So congratulations once again to Tim from Tavares. And once again, folks, we'll do it again next Wednesday, so don't forget. Okay, let's go back now to Jeff Doughty. And once again, Jeff, as we've been talking to Abe Katzman, I've noticed that you've been hard at work over here. You're on your computer, you're on your phone.
Trying to be on top of it.
Just give us a couple of quick updates.
Well, WFTV just released a poll that shows that 8% of the people believe Mr. Zimmerman will be found guilty of second-degree murder.
That's 0.8%?
Correct. 75% not guilty.
75% in their poll say he's
17% guilty of a lesser charge, if offered, and 1% don't know.
Wow. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, that 75%. Let's hope that there are similar numbers in the jury room, if you will. Obviously, it's going to take a unanimous vote one way or the other to convict or acquit. So they're going to have to perhaps do a little hashing out when they get back there, this poll is any indication.
Now, Chris, you were talking earlier about some article that there's some shenanigans going on here.
Well, I want to bring Nostradamus back in.
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've always on this show been talking about there's a political element to this case, this trial, well, the case in general. And it's beyond the players involved, if you will. And it was begun, if you want, by Benjamin Crump, and then, of course, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton coming down here. And also the Orlando Sentinel had last spring and summer been reporting also that the Justice Department was here and that the Justice Department was working with law enforcement to help quell the hard feelings and the fires, put water on the fires, if you will. But it turns out they may have also been pouring a little gasoline on those fires. Let's go back now to Nostradamus to fill us in on a couple of details. Nostradamus, fill us in on the details, please.
Sure. This is from the Judicial Watch website. And last April, they filed the Freedom of Information Act request for the Department of Justice. And I think they only just got these documents almost a year later.
Right.
Among their findings, over the course of March 25th through April 12th, there is a little-known DOJ unit called the Community Relations Service Department.
Are they a branch of ACORN?
No, they are a branch of the Department of
Justice. Yes.
They were deployed to Stanford to, quote, organize and manage rallies against Zimmerman, according to Judicial Watch. There's a whole bunch of expenses they put forth. Looks like they were keeping people up at hotels. They spent a total of over $5,300 over the course of those 3 weeks. So I guess they were pumping up the economy of Sanford, and that's a good thing. What they will say is they were providing technical assistance to the people planning the marches to make sure they were safe. And if you take them at their word, that's fine. But later on in the month of April, DOJ employees arranged a 40-mile police escort to bring students from Daytona Beach to Stanford in order to protest outside of the Stanford Police Department.
Yeah, I remember
that, too.
Jeff, I have two questions. Have you ever heard of anything like this in your career happening before? And two, is there anything that can be done about it if the Justice Department was doing what we suspect?
I've never seen it or heard of it done before, and I'm certainly confident there's nothing that's going to be done about it. It was told today in court, I knew this had happened, that there was 100 agents down here during that time frame interviewing friends and acquaintances of George Zimmerman to see if they could make a civil rights violation case.
Yeah,
I knew that was going on.
Yeah, that was also reported by the Sentinel, too, that they were trying to prove that it was a case of a hate crime.
Right.
That
the feds would have jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. Was the defense trying to present that today as sort of exonerating George, that they couldn't find any evidence that he was a racist?
Well, there was no evidence whatsoever, because I'm certain
you would
there
think
was.
That if there's 100 agents from the Justice Department that comes down here to investigate George Zimmerman to see if he's a racist, you think, by God, that if he was, they would have been able to find it out.
You would think so.
there's more to this, folks, than meets the eye. We've known this from the very beginning. And what's been going on to George Zimmerman is worse, if you will, than a lynching. Because at least in a lynching, it's done by a lawless group of people, right? What we're seeing happen to George Zimmerman is being done by the people that we trust to carry out the law. It's not right that the Justice Department comes down here and takes sides in any case. Now, it's one thing to investigate George Zimmerman. It's another thing to come down here and take sides in pro-Martin or pro-Zimmerman. It's just not right. It's unconstitutional. You think Don West is going to be happy about this?
No, not at all. And it's going to be interesting to see because who shows up tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a big day outside the courthouse.
And he's been making the argument on several occasions. I think last night, maybe today was the most recent, that George Zimmerman's constitutional rights are coming into question here.
He was exasperated last night. I mean,
I can see why.
I mean, he was exasperated, and I've known this man for 25 years. I've never seen him that way. He just raised his arms and said, "My client's rights are being trampled on here," and that's very uncharacteristic of Don West. And that's how exasperated he was.
Is this story characteristic of Don West's argument, Nostradamus?
It actually is. You know, if you think about it, this administration really came into power with only one area of expertise. And that was community organizing. And this seems to be the apex of community organizing.
Wow, I never thought of it that way, but that's an excellent way to look at this. Because that is the one thing that Barack Obama does seem to be good at, unfortunately.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Do you think that George Zimmerman is being made basically a sacrificial scapegoat? For a lot of...
Sacrificial lamb, absolutely.
Scapegoat, I'm thinking.
Excellent question, excellent.
Absolutely.
And for racial things, for white guilt, for a lot of different things in this country.
And to help Barack Obama get elected president.
He's the poster child. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's the poster child, and it's a shame that it's going on in the city of Sanford. But
it's a shame that it's going on in the United States of America.
Right.
You know, and that includes Puerto Rico, because they're under federal law down there.
Hey, guys, the railroad has a stop at the courthouse.
All right. Hey, Nostradamus, thanks. Great work on two stories today. Thank you so very much.
And you know what? Don't believe that WFTV poll, because that's a right-wing organization. That's an ABC.
Hey, now, ABC, well, I'll say this about Channel 9. They've been actually pretty good since the beginning, okay? It's been NBC that's been, you know, trash and George going way overboard.
But George's friend, Frank Taffy, he holds his own every night. He's on that show, and he'll argue with him.
Yeah, he does.
Real quick. Heart.
Okay, Jeff, we're just about out of time. Thank you, Dennis. We'll see you at Positano in a few minutes. Real quickly, what's going to happen tomorrow?
You are going to see an interesting cast of characters outside the courthouse. They've been recruiting students and protesters all week long.
Didn't we just hear about this? It's probably the Justice Department doing it, too. Thanks a lot, Eric Holder.
Jury instructions in the morning, closing arguments, 3 hours apiece. So the day is going to be spent with closing arguments. The jury will probably go into deliberations 5 p.m. tomorrow.
You think they'll get the case tomorrow?
They'll get the case tomorrow, and she'll let them go as long as they want, because you know they want to go.
And you'll get the straight scoop from us tomorrow night and Jeff Dowdy
folks. Who knows?
That's right. You're going to take your weenie wagon down there to the courthouse. It's going to be a circus. We are the American Adversaries, and we supply the fun. See you tomorrow.
Night, everybody.